Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Wood, our speaker will be Dr. Carl Herbster, pastor of Tri-Cities Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri. The title of his message is, How to Do Spiritual Warfare. The text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and verses 16 through 18.
We're very privileged to have you visitors from American Association of Christian Schools with us today. I think you'll find this an exciting place. You may find your future mission here as God speaks to your heart. If God leads you this way, you may find your future mate here, and I know you can get really excited about that. God has brought together many people from all over the world to have a ministry that trains people to go out and serve Him. And we are fortunate to have with us today Dr. Carl Herbster, President of American Association, Pastor of Tri-City Baptist Church, President of a Seminary, President of PACE. Too many titles for me to name this morning. Great accomplishments for the Lord over the years. But I think the best thing that I can say about him, he's a man that has focused on his family. A man who's had his sons follow him in the ministry, all three of them. A man whose wife supports him in the ministry. A man whose table is very full because God has given him many opportunities. He preaches the word, and at the same time, he makes critical business decisions for the organizations that God has him involved in. I've known him for many years. He's blessed my heart on many occasions, and I believe he'll bless your heart as he preaches to us here today. You give him your full attention, will you, Dr. Herbster?
Thank you, and what a privilege it is to be here again on the campus of Bob Jones University. Please forgive me for the weather that I brought from Kansas City, Missouri, because it was about the way it is here yesterday when I hopped on an airplane. And I hope that maybe you all can pray us in some good weather for tomorrow as all these students come on campus this afternoon, as most of our competition is tomorrow. And I want to just take the opportunity to thank you for your hospitality. I know it's a stretch for you to be able to have to put all these extra students in your rooms. I know that it's something that you're in your schedule of things. It could be that you're running over bodies all the time on the sidewalks. Please help our AACS students. Show them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know they will greatly appreciate it. How many of you, I'm just curious, how many of you have ever participated in the competition of the American Association of Christian Schools, state level, regional level, or national level? Would you please stand? Would you please stand if you've ever competed in one of those areas? Wow! Now, you see, these are the ones that are going to be especially long-suffering, right? Because you can remember some people that were long-suffering with you. Thank you very much. You may be seated. And we're just looking forward to a great week that we're going to be able to enjoy together. Let me thank you about something else. I know the campus has been praying for our men and women in the military. And I hope that you will continue to pray for our president, pray for our country. The war is not over yet. It's looking like the victory is coming on the battlefield, but there's a lot of diplomatic battles going on as well. And we have a president in the White House who has named the name of Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And a man who goes regularly to prayer and pulls some of his cabinet members together in prayer is seeking the Lord, and we need to pray for him. And we need to pray for those who are in authority over us. And we need to pray for those who are fighting so that we can have the freedoms that we have here in the United States of America. And I hope that you will pray that the Lord will really be near to them, and some of these families that have lost loved ones, continue to pray. Many of our churches have been impacted. We have three men out of our church that have gone to serve in Iraqi freedom. And so please, let's uphold one another in prayer and be an encouragement. You know, I've watched more television in the last couple weeks than I've probably watched in the last couple years, just trying to kind of see what all's going on and try to stay up to date to find out what is happening. And isn't it amazing? The lies of the devil. You know, we're not even in Baghdad, according to the communication division of the Iraqi government. And here we can see it with our own eyes, but the deception that is there for the people of Iraq. And no matter what happens, I think we can all see why we're over there, fighting for our freedoms, but also fighting for the freedom of the Iraqi people. And something I'm praying about, that I hope you'll be praying about, is not only will they be set free from Saddam Hussein, but they also might be set free to seek after Jesus Christ. I'm praying that we will see a free Iraq in every way, even freedom of religion, because without Jesus Christ, you really don't have true freedom. So pray along with me in that regard, and let's see what God might do about opening up the doors for the gospel to go into Iraq and for people to come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I thought with the war going on and all that is taking place, it'd be a good time for us to remind ourselves about the warfare that we're in. We think of our loved ones and some of those who may be in Iraqi freedom. I know of some preachers even that have left pulpits to go and be there. And we sometimes don't realize that every day of our life is a battle as well. I think you're familiar with 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." We're in an eternal battle. Hopefully the battle in Iraq will be a short battle, and it'll soon be over. But all of us are in an eternal battle, a battle with the forces of evil, a battle with the devil, the master deceiver. In Ephesians chapter 6, it reminds us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And sometimes we think our battles are with individuals or situations, but really our battles are eternal battles that we're fighting with the forces of evil. So I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want us to see how to do spiritual warfare this morning. This chapter became very, very special to me when we were finishing up our new auditorium at Tri-City Baptist Church. Some of our young people can remember Blue Thursday. We call it Blue Thursday because this was the day that the pews were coming in to complete the project. We had put $1 million underground to get ready for this project. We're probably one of the only churches in America who had a groundbreaking for the sewer project. Now, that sounds kind of gross, but we did. And if you're putting $1 million anywhere, you ought to groundbreak. And we were putting $1 million underground for the sewer project, so we had a groundbreaking. But then we spent another $5 million on the auditorium. We were getting it all ready. Everything was coming together. The governor, who is now the attorney general, was planning to come and be a part of our dedication. Dr. Wood was coming to be a part of that dedication. And the carpet was all laid and the pews started coming in. And as the pews started to come in, we noticed that it didn't look like they were quite right. It just seemed like something was wrong. As a matter of fact, I was in there kind of looking over things and people were coming up to me and say, "Pastor, are the pews the right color?" And of course, you know, after 2 years of building and after $6 million, you know, you're saying, "Of course they're right. I mean, what? Of course they're right. We had that board. Remember that board that had all the different swatches on it? May I remind you of something, you preacher boys that go out to build? Small swatches of a material. You know, just those small little pieces aren't the best way to look at colors. I don't care how many deacons' wives you have, look at it. Because sometimes the little swatches, when they get to be big masses on pews, don't look the same." And I kept going. Finally, my music pastor came up to me and he said, "Pastor, what's wrong with the pews? They're ugly." I said, "Thanks for the encouragement." You know, have you ever almost lost it in the ministry? You almost gone and just probably almost lost it in classes sometimes. Said, "Man, I don't know if I'm going to make it." I mean, I lost the victory. I had, as a matter of fact, one of the artists in our church painted a little caricature of me with a big nose, by the way, which I didn't appreciate. But, had a caricature of me and had a little saying out there. So everybody walking in the auditorium says, "Yes, I know the pews don't look right." And, I was discouraged. You ever been discouraged? Well, if you're a student, you've been discouraged sometime. You have a class or a test or a boyfriend or a girlfriend who has discouraged you. And you didn't know how to deal with it. And this, I was taken to this passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 to be an encouragement. And this first verse is a verse that I've memorized now because it's something we have to remember. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we what? We what? We faint not." We don't faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is... small, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, we cannot faint. The devil wants us to faint. Doesn't want us to finish the course. Doesn't want us to accomplish the task. And there'll be a warfare that'll take place. By the way, we didn't have to replace the pews. They're still there. We didn't even have to take and replace all of the fabric on the pews, even though I was trying to find somebody that could do it within a week, no matter what it cost. You know what we ended up doing? Changing some filters in the lights. Another free tip. You can make colors look different with different filters on the lights in your building. Didn't know any lighting engineers here. And now people come into our auditorium, which I'm hoping to remodel in the very near future. This was 1989. And they say, wow, what a beautiful auditorium. I say, oh, thank you. But they don't know how the Lord burdened my heart and gave me discouragement, but how I was encouraged through this chapter. I wish I had time to take you through the entire chapter, because I think there's so much instruction here for how we can deal with the devil and how we can handle spiritual warfare. But I'm just going to deal with the last three verses. The last three verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the last three verses. And I'm going to give you three thoughts that I hope you will hold on to, that I've held on to in my life, that have been a real help to me as I deal with the devil and as I have spiritual warfare. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, "For which cause we faint not." There it is again. "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." Boy, remember that. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. In the light of eternity, this is just a breath that passeth away. It's such a short time in the midst of everything else. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." Let me give you three thoughts today that I hope that you'll hold on to, that will help you to defeat the devil. I'll help you to be able to handle spiritual warfare. Help you to battle, even as our soldiers in Iraq are battling, you'll be able to do battle with the devil himself. Number one, day by day is the only way. Would you say that with me? Day by day is the only way. Look what it says in verse 16. The outward man, well, it's going to perish. As a matter of fact, it's a definite. It is decaying. And of course, you young folks don't understand that. But some of us old men understand that. As I watched the NCAA finals last night, with great despair coming from Kansas City. But I can remember playing basketball myself and being able to go in and jam that ball two-handed. And now when I go to our gymnasium, my mind may say, jam it. My body says, no way. Because it's, you know, decaying. It's perishing. And every day we're getting closer to the grave. And this body is not able to handle things. And even in our spirit sometimes, we get discouraged. But the Bible says the inward man should be renewed how? Day by day. Day, as I've watched these Iraqi soldiers, every day making progress, and many times throughout the night. Every day they're doing battle. They say that there are going to be a lot of schools that are going to be studying the march from Kuwait to Baghdad, because it's unprecedented. It's historic. And of course, they've had the embedded reporters that have been able to give report all the way. And every day making progress, and every day having a plan, and going forward, forward, forward. And by the way, it's still going on. And when you do battle with the devil, you're going to do battle with him every day. And you better make sure that you're renewed in your spirit every day. I don't know about you, but I've learned that sometimes when I don't take my time to be quiet with the Lord in the morning, it seems like things seem to go bonkers. It seems like I just don't have the power to overcome. The poet has put it this way: "I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, well, you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. Godly gently and lovingly chided my child. You didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Is that your attitude? That I have to take time to pray? Jesus Christ said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." We need our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit every day of our life. Day by day is the only way. We're to deny ourselves how often? Say it. Daily. We're to pick up our cross how often? Daily. It's a daily walk. It's a daily life. And if you don't prepare yourself daily to do battle, you won't be able to do battle. Now, listen, these soldiers didn't go into Iraq and get over there and say, "Hey, now we need to get prepared." They've been preparing for years. As a matter of fact, some of the soldiers almost like looked like they were excited about the fact, finally put to practice in real activity, you know, what they've been practicing all these days. But what if they hadn't practiced well? What if they hadn't done those maneuvers? What if they didn't know how to deal with chemical weapons? You see, there was day by day hard work and hard practice and hard study for them to be able to do the battle that they're doing today for the good of the entire world. Well, listen, for us to be able to do battle with the devil the rest of our lives, we must make sure that every day of our lives we're walking with the Lord. Galatians 5 and verse 16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We spend so much time trying to fight the flesh, and so we should. But how much time are we spending trying to walk in the Spirit? Day by day is the only way. Say it with me. Day by day is the only way. Second thought, verse 17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Our light affliction, our pain, our difficulty, our frustration, our discouragement. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Second thought. No pain, no gain. Now some of you athletes say, "Yeah, I've heard that one before. That was high school coach. Yeah, I remember that. Make it hurt! Make it hurt!" And by the way, if you hadn't kept in shape during the summer and you came back in and started doing some of those calisthenics and sprints and those setups and all that stuff, it did hurt, right? I mean, it did. And it's a good thing. But if you don't have some pain in life, you probably won't have gain in life. Say it with me. No pain, no gain. Together? Do you know God uses difficult circumstances in our lives to help us to grow? Do you know sometimes it takes an impossible task for us to finally just say, "God, I can't. Help, I need you." Ron Hamilton has put it to song, "Oft time and life seems gentle and blessings flood my way. I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the skies grow darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you." God, many times in our lives, has to bring along challenges, difficulties, frustrations, problems to get us to seek Him and to seek His Word the way we should. I could take you in my Bible and I could show you dates, I could show you names of situations that have come up in almost 20 years of ministry where God has challenged me and frustrated me and said, "Hey, what's going on here, Lord? I don't understand." And He's forced me into His Word. I've learned to follow my own counsel, which is when you're going through a difficult time, get into the Word of God. And especially going into the Psalms, I could just show you place after place after place after place where the Psalms have been such an encouragement to me. Just like this passage in 2 Corinthians, after that Blue Thursday, getting into the Word of God and finding out from the Word of God how I can have comfort and how I can peace and how I can defeat the devil even in the area of discouragement. Sometimes it takes those kind of situations to help us. Job, "When I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold." But it takes the trying. Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." Get mad about it. Get even for it. No, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. You see, no pain, no gain. Many times it's in the crisis of our life where we really learn how to trust Christ and to follow His leadership. I want you to turn back to the first part of this book, 2 Corinthians, because sometimes God puts us through challenges so that we can be a blessing to somebody else. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted." He says, sometimes we go through situations, we find God's comfort, He brings us through so that we're able then to be a ministry to somebody else. We have a lady in our church who lost a husband at the age of 40 from cancer, and still had a family to raise. You know, she now has a ministry of ministering to other wives who lose their husbands and still have children to raise, a single mom's type ministry and an encouragement. She's the receptionist at our church, and so anytime I'm out and about and I hear about that and somebody's going through that battle, I'll give the phone number for the church and just say, talk to our receptionist, and she can give some comfort and encouragement to them because she's been through it. I've not been through that, but she's been through it. Sometimes there's people who have had financial difficulties, and I've been able to help them through those financial difficulties with the Word of God and given them biblical principles and allowed them to come through it and to see the bills paid and the budget balanced in their own personal life. And now some of those folks that went through some of those devastating times that they didn't know how they were going to make it are now the same people that I put with somebody else that needs to be encouraged that, yes, you can get rid of those credit card bills. Of course, by the way, young people, the best way is never have them in the first place. That's the best way. But you can get rid of them. There is victory if you'll be satisfied with food and raiment. We can give comfort and encouragement. I've been almost 20 years at Tri-City. And in those 20 years, I've had three different times where a group of people have left our church. It's painful. And any pastor that tells you, that's just backdoor revival, it must not have a pastor's heart or he's lying to you, one of the two. Because any pastor will tell you, you don't want to lose people, you want people to come, but it's a part of life, it's a part of the pastorate. I remember when I went to Tri-City the first time, and third year there was a group of people leaving. And I thought, now, I understand why people would leave somebody else's church. I've met some pastors, I would have left their church too. But I can't understand why anybody would leave our church. I mean, I'm a nice guy. I get along with people. I'm congenial. You know, I don't understand this. Chairman of my deacon and a couple other deacons. And I thought, man, this is about to kill me. And I called a pastor friend and he says, you think it hurts now? Wait till some people you've led to the Lord, you've discipled, turn on you and leave. And I've had that happen. And it's painful. But you know what? As I work with young men preparing for the ministry and as I talk to them in seminary classes, I can share with them some of the things and I can be an encouragement to them. And I have pastors calling me that are going through challenges and difficulties, and I can be the encouragement to them the way that pastor was an encouragement to me. I don't like the one encouragement I was. I had one pastor call and say, hey, I heard you lost some people from your church. And I said, yeah, that's true. He says, well, boy, you sure encouraged me because I've lost a bunch from my church. And I said, if Dr. Herbster loses some from his church, maybe it's okay for me to lose some from our church. That's not the way I want to give encouragement. But you know, all of us can learn through difficult situations. By the way, that chairman of the deacon is back with a couple of the other people. That's the other thing I teach preachers. When people leave, you make sure you have the right spirit, Christ-like spirit, because they may come back. But if you don't treat them right, they may not. And so make sure that you have the Christ-like spirit, whether they do or not. But no matter what the situation you might face, some of you may have flunked the test and still graduated. And you can be an encouragement to somebody else. Some of you may have lost your first love, but now you're happily married. And guess what? You're glad the first love left. You see, all of us go through challenging times and difficult situations, and they may hurt. And they do hurt. But that's when we should cry out to God so He can give us the comfort, so that we can get close to Him, so we might be a blessing to somebody else. No pain, no gain. I'll tell you, it's painful to see people in Iraq losing their lives. None of us want that. It's painful to see even commentaries losing their lives. Painful to see civilians, Iraqi civilians, being tortured and massacred and losing their lives. And every day as they try to make some gain, guess what? There's probably going to be some pain. But You know, the light affliction, he calls it. He says, that light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. God wants to use it in our lives to strengthen us. We all know it, but do we believe it? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Number one was what? Day by day is the only way. Number two, no pain, no gain. Number three, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Number three, spiritual sight is always right. Say it with me. Spiritual sight is always right. Get your eyes off the temporal and get your eyes on the eternal. Lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where rust and moth doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where rust and moth doth not corrupt, and where thieves don't break through and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you can't put your eyes on people, you'll get discouraged. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We're not doing this for people. We're doing it for God Almighty, our Lord and Savior, King of Kings, Jesus Christ. That's who we're serving. And we need to make sure that we keep our eyes looking forward with eternal values in view. Thinking about the ultimate goal, the ultimate cause. Boy, I hear these soldiers talking about liberating Iraq. And even that one time in his exuberance, that one soldier put up the American flag. And I don't fault him for that. I praise the Lord for people who love our flag. But he forgot. We're not here to take over the country. We're here to liberate. And though they got that flag down and put the Iraqi flag back up. But what are we trying to do? What's the goal? To give the people freedom. Listen, folks, what are we trying to do? Give people eternal freedom. Freedom from their sin. To have a life in heaven forever and ever with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all these things that we work so hard to obtain aren't eternal, but every soul that we lead to Christ, every family that raises godly children and grandchildren, we're now dealing with things that are eternal, something that lasts forever. I tell folks when I deal with Christian education, I say, listen, the only possession you can take with you to heaven are your children. So why are you not willing to invest in something that's eternal instead of a new car and a bigger house, nicer clothes? If you have parents that are sacrificing for you to be here, they've got eternal values and views. They've got spiritual sight, and it's right. And you need to understand that. And spiritual sight realizes there's a battle going on. There's a warfare taking place. Not just in my own soul, but in the world in which we live. God wants to see the work go forward, and Satan wants to destroy it. And we need to realize that we've got a battle. And we need to keep spiritual sight. You know, I think we're going to win the battle in Iraq. Our soldiers are going to come home. And we're going to have a free country there. And I'm praying that someday the gospel will go forth and we'll see churches established in Iraq. And can you imagine what it'll be like, you know, to be able to even go over and see old Babylon? Of course, when I look at the map, I think maybe we won't be here because Jesus is coming soon. It all began there, and I think it's all going to end in that area, so who knows. But if the Lord tarries, it's going to be wonderful to see. And we're all going to look back, and you're going to realize that you lived through a historic moment. Not just in the life of the United States of America, but in the history of the world, we've lived through this historic moment. Because we've seen the battle won. We've seen the victory come. Not just on the battlefield, but in the lives of people. And praise the Lord. But even more important for you individually and for the life that you're going to live is whether you have the victory. Now, praise the Lord. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's given us the victory. It's assured if we will follow His biblical principles, if we will learn His biblical truth, if we'll put to practice the biblical armor and warfare tools that He has given us. The battle in Iraq, I think, will be won. We'll be able to look back and see it. What about the battle in your own life? What about the struggles you're facing? Maybe today, maybe last week, maybe next week. Don't kid yourself. There will be battles. For Satan is a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. The question is, will we have the victory? We can if we'll realize, number one, say it with me, day by day is the only way. Number two, no pain, no gain. Number three, spiritual sight is always right. Keep your eyes on the Master. Keep your eyes on heaven. Keep eternity's values in view. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have of being able to go into your word and get principles that can help us to live a life of victory. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died on the cross so our sins could be forgiven. Thank you for the work that's being done even in Iraq and for those brave soldiers that are there and even those Christians that are doing a job witnessing as well as battling. And I pray that all of us will realize that the battle goes on until Jesus comes.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Carl Herbster, pastor of Tri-Cities Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.